Some of the most interesting artifacts in the exhibition relate to Arsenal's relationship to the Jewish community. So we have this fantastic two programmes from the mid-60s in Arsenal, something that Spurs never did, apologising to their Jewish supporters for games clashing with Jewish festivals.
Really?
And on one occasion in 65, delaying kickoff on the Jewish New Year, which we just had, Rosh Hashanah, they delayed kickoff to enable their Jewish fans to attend games. Wow. So you have this fantastic, I mean, Herbert Chapman's relationship with the Jewish community as well. There's lots and lots of interesting aspects of Arsenal's connection to the Jewish community, which in many ways is much more interesting and newsworthy than Spurs, that has been, but has been overshadowed by all the kind of negative stuff. And I would like to point out that we're really excited to be bringing this out in the fact that Arsene Wenger has agreed to open the exhibition.
Really?
So the private view, which is taking place next week, we have the honour of the exhibition being opened by Arsene Wenger. It's very fitting because Arsenal's connection to the Jewish community is just as strong as Spurs.
And I guess as well, pretty much all the London clubs, and certainly the inner London clubs, you would think. I mean, Leighton Orient must have a Jewish fan base.
Definitely.
I mean, I'm a QPR fan, and I know a fair amount of Jewish guys and girls who support Rangers as well. Even
definitely.
West London, not so typically Jewish.
Completely. I mean, the exhibition is about UK more generally, but if you look at the London story, because obviously we have a lot of strong London material, and the London clubs are well represented. We've got Orient there, we've got QPR, Jewish wedding, a rabbi there, and everything QPR, Leighton Orient themed, and QPR actually. One of the stars of the exhibition is the former one of the club photographers at QPR, who is now a female rabbi.
Wow.
Rabbi Ariel Friedlander, great character. She tells a great story in the exhibition of her divine revelation at Loftus Road when the crowd started singing, "Does your rabbi know you're here?" She was there on a Jewish high holiday. She felt very guilty, and that's when she decided she was going to become a rabbi. So she kind of connects her football identity with her religious identity very strongly. And there are lots of rabbis we came across like that too, but QPR definitely a very strong Jewish following. It was geographical, so you know where Jewish communities were.
So Manchester must, for example, have Jewish supporters, I presume.
Oh, very much so. I grew up in Manchester. Manchester United and City. Depending
Would it be on, more united, given the...
Well, depending on who you speak to. My understanding is that possibly North and West is more united and South and East is City. That would fit with my story.
Because
and,
the Jewish
and
community is largely in the North, isn't it?
The strongest kind of... The growing, most Orthodox community is definitely in the North. And there's also a very strong community in the South too. But I would say it's split. And we have representation from, you know, the two United clubs in the exhibition. We've got the great story of Bert Trautmann and the relationship between the Jewish community in Manchester City when he signed in the late 40s.
What was that like? Was that strange?
Yeah, well, this is one instance where the Jewish community were kind of...
For those who don't know, Bert Trautmann was a German...
Yeah, he was actually in Britain. He was a prisoner of war. Yeah, he recently died, sadly. He's a great character. And when he signed for City in 49, there was a real outcry in the Jewish community because they, you know, it's 5 years after the war had ended. Many people were unhappy with a German prisoner of war playing for their team. They threatened a boycott. We've got the front page of the Star of the time, the Manchester Evening Chronicle, the Manchester Evening News. There was this kind of discourse that played out in the press. Lots of Jews unhappy, and it actually came down to a local rabbi writing a letter in the paper saying, "Give this guy a chance. We can't blame every German for what happened," which is great. And he was warmly received and became a hero of the club.
I assume, although I don't know, that the more Orthodox community has less of a relationship. Would that be the case, do you think?
Well, that's interesting, actually, because one of my favourite parts of the exhibition, I should say that for people who are expecting it just to be about players or chairmen, it's really not. We look at fans, we look at clubs, we look at all sorts of angles. And one of my favourite things is about the grassroots story. And there's a film called The Worst Jewish Football Team in the World. That's an Orthodox Jewish team in Manchester, Broughton B, who went out every week and got thrashed 10-0, 20-0, but loved the game and played. That you see them playing in their skull caps and their fringed, you know, sit-sit, flapping in the wind. And that's an instance of, you know, many Orthodox communities, they may not have many interaction with much of kind of what you'd term secular culture. Football is one thing. If you go to Manchester, if you go to Orthodox communities, you'll see boys loving football, maybe even having the skull caps on their head branded by their teams, you know. Liverpool and Manchester United kippot you see very regularly at synagogues.